Welcome, everyone. You have tuned in to the Plastic Surgery Revolution with your hosts, Dr. Stephen Davis and Jani Moon. Hi, Jani. How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you, Dr. Davis. How are you?
I'm just fine. I think we have a really interesting show today, and I want to try to jump into it right away because it was kind of sparked on by a major reveal that Caitlyn Jenner, our favorite transgender person, had his penis removed in January of 2017. And that basically completed his last step in the whole gender reassignment world. When I tell you that, Jani, what's the first thing that you think of?
Wow. I think for someone like Caitlyn Jenner, I mean, she has chosen fully to step into being a woman. Obviously, this has been a decision that he's wanted for years. I feel like he's probably given it a lot of thought. But yes, it's a major surgery. Is this surgery reversible? No, right?
No, it is definitely not reversible. And, it's interesting because one of the things as a plastic surgeon, everybody that's listening really needs to know that part of the training in becoming a plastic surgeon is understanding who's a good surgical candidate and who's not a good surgical candidate. And at the very top of the list is someone that may not be psychologically prepared, let's say, to have the surgery that they're coming in and asking for. And it really becomes incumbent upon the plastic surgeon to really talk with the patients about that and really, make an assessment if they're ready, not only medically, so to make sure that, medically that they're healthy enough, but also psychologically, are they healthy enough? Are they emotionally, ready? Is their social world set up for them to be able to not only go through the surgery, but now really be able to recover from it in a way? So I can give you a whole bunch of my past experiences with dealing with patients that had this, just examples where I really think it was important for me to jump in and talk about this. But again, when Caitlyn Jenner was asked about this, he really said in quotes that he felt not only wonderful, but he felt liberated. For the first time, he really felt like he's no longer a guy. And, it takes years and years, Jani, to get to the level where you're going to have all those surgical procedures, you're taking all those hormone replacements, you're doing all these things to change into this person that you want to become. And again, that last step of really having your penis removed is, you bought in, hook, line, and sinker, you're in.
Right. Absolutely.
So what's your feeling on that kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, I think it's a little bit different than just getting, I just feel like, you and I have no idea what it's like to be trapped in a body that does not feel like your own.
And right.
Go through, from childhood to feel that you're meant to be a man or a woman, I can imagine could be just excruciating. And to finally be able to have that chance to make yourself feel whole by having surgery, I think, I say go for it. If it's going to make, Caitlyn feel like a woman, and this is what she wants to choose for herself, and it's done with a great deal of consideration and care, I totally support that particular surgery.
Yeah.
There's a lot of surgeries done, flippantly, done where that care and consideration can be taken. as you mentioned.
Right. Well, you know, so here are some of the things that in my mind as a plastic surgeon kind of all seem to tie in. Okay. One of the things that I think to tie in is the idea that there's been this whole trend with young girls that want to start looking like Ivanka Trump. Have you heard about this, Jani?
No, I haven't. And that's
okay.
Because I thought she was on the to-do list for a lot of women.
Well, that's the thing. The funny part about it is it's these girls, most of them said they didn't even vote for her father, you know, but she's like, you know, the person to look like, evidently, around the world. People love her look. They think she's very stately looking. They think that she has a very, like, perfect nose and facial shape. And they also love the way her body looks. So there's an article that I was reading that said that this girl spent over $60,000 to get cheek implants, to get her nose to look like her, to get breast implants, and to actually have some liposuctioning. And when I looked at her before photos, she was an extremely attractive young lady even before, but she really and truly wanted to look like Ivanka. And there was a list of people, some in even in Japan and other countries, that feel like she is that gorgeous of a person, or that, you know, iconic at this point, to really look like that. So I guess what I was trying to do in today's podcast is kind of take everyone through a little journey, if you will, through the same kind of, so let's talk about it almost like if we're a painter. Hang on with this, Jani, for a minute for my analogy. But let's say we're just talking about blues, okay? So we're taking a really dark royal blue, and we're kind of painting across a palette with some paint. And now the blue is getting a little bit lighter in color until it becomes almost like a sky blue, okay? But overall, the theme is a blue color. Are you with me?
Oh, yes. I'm visual.
Okay. So let's do it. So it's a very visual analogy here. So we're starting with a dark royal blue, and we're ending up with this sky blue. But here's the thing, the constant here is this: surgical procedures that really entail doing things that are going to leave either scars or a body shape or a facial shape that is going to be extremely difficult to create a different way or to turn back is something that is very different than when we talk about cosmetic surgery procedures that are injectables, that like are Botox and fillers, and even some laser procedures and things. A lot of those things really either run their course and then they're finished, and if you like them, you can do it again, or they're things that are going to go away, but may have somewhat of a lasting result, but nothing so drastic that you're not going to be able to still look like yourself or still be who you were. And the three different things that I was thinking about in this, you know, mural, if we're painting, Jani, is we're starting with somebody like a Caitlyn Jenner who cut off her penis. We've got somebody who's trying to change their face and body to look like Ivanka Trump. And then we also have at the, you know, as we're going through this, you know, blue coloring, at the opposite end is a woman that may have had breast cancer and needs to have mastectomies. And she's got to make the decision if she's going to have reconstruction to try to build up, you know, and make it look like she does have breasts still, or is she just going to let all the cancer get taken care of, go through all the surgeries, maybe radiation and things like that, and then come back at another time when she may be more mentally sound to decide if she really does want to have a reconstruction. You see where I'm going with this, Jani?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All three are different cases, in my opinion.
Right. But again, all three are going to create a situation where you've really done something that is not so reversible.
Right.
And I think it is very incumbent upon the physicians involved to really sit down and explain all the different things that are going to go on, what's going to happen afterwards. But here's the point that I was trying to make, Jenny. Everybody listening, this is really like an incredibly important thing, is that let's take the woman that just had bilateral mastectomies for breast cancer. Is she in a really good state of mind? And this is a rhetorical question, naturally. But is, in your evaluation, is she in a good state of mind to be able to understand the reconstructive aspects of this? That there may be tissue expanders needed to be placed for, let's say, 4 to 6 months. And then from that, either a real permanent implant placed, or are we going to have to do a reconstruction where we take her abdominal tissue and actually make her a breast out of her abdominal tissue, which is called a TRAM flap, a transrectus abdominis muscle flap, which we do in a lot of patients that do have breast cancer, and we can actually make them and form a breast out of their own tissue. But it's a huge surgery, and it's a lot of, you know, recovery. And sometimes these patients want to do that, but they know they're just not mentally prepared to go through a cancer type of an operation and a reconstructive operation all at the same time. Do you understand where I'm going with this, Jenny?
Absolutely, and you're right. It's a responsibility of the doctor to keep them informed. But I feel like, at least in hearing all these different situations, like, I support Caitlyn Jenner getting, you know, turning, becoming a woman by getting his penis removed. I support cancer, you know, patients that want reconstruction surgery so they can get their breasts back. But what I do not support is people getting all this plastic surgery, spending 60 grand or whatever to look like someone else. I'm telling you, that drives me crazy. Like, the fact that this woman wants to look so much like Ivanka, to me, is sad. Like, why would you want to look exactly like somebody else? Like, that
what
is crazy, because that's a trend. Who knows who's going to be the next hot ticket in 5 years, next year, whatever. She can't reverse back to her face again.
So here's my question, and I agree with you 100%. Okay, so here's my question, though. What could that person have said to that physician, to that doctor, to make him feel like making this girl look like Ivanka Trump was a good idea? Like, how is that? How do you even see that happening? Because I have a, because I'll tell you, I've had multiple patients. I've been in practice almost 25 years, okay? And I've had patients come in and they brought in photos of people that they want to look like, either their nose, their face. They bring in breasts all the time and they want to have breasts made to look like whomever. And, you know, I can tell you that the patients that really don't get the fact that they can't look like that person don't sign up with me, and I wouldn't be operating on them anyway. But I know that they're going to continue to search for a doctor that's going to say, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And what disturbs me is that at some point, there really should be a gauge to make sure people understand what's, you know, going to be a good thing to be doing with plastic surgery and what's not a good thing to be doing with plastic surgery. Because I think the reality show, Jenny, that would be incredibly interesting would be to follow that girl that spent the $60,000 to look like Ivanka, or the girl that spent all the money to look like Pamela Anderson. And now that Pamela Anderson is now out of the limelight, what happens? What happens to that person that spent all that money to look like that 5, 10 years later? Or like even not even that much time. Give it 2 years, 3 years. Like, I just, that to me is the reality show, is that what are people doing with this plastic surgery that's changing them into looking like someone else? Like, what does that do for them? And what does that do for them for the long haul, I think, is the issue. And I think more and more, when we're getting into plastic surgery type things, my point of this podcast was to say, hey, why don't we look at these things like, this is a surgery that's going to change your appearance permanently. It's going to change your outlook on life potentially permanently. It's going to change the jobs that you can go for. Let me give you an example of some personal experiences. I had a young girl that was graduating college, and her parents went together a graduation present. So it was either going to be plastic surgery that she always wanted, or they were going to get her a car. She was 22 years old. The girl wanted to go to medical school. And on the one hand, she was like applying for medical schools and everything. And on the other hand, she wanted to have the most incredibly large breasts that you've ever seen in your entire life. So she literally came in with photos of people that were just incredibly, like, I'm not saying just double D, Jenny. I'm talking like G cups. And for this young girl who evidently must be bright enough to even think about that she was going to be able to get into medical school, for her to not see the discrepancy in what she was presenting to me, to say, okay, I'm going to try to go to medical school. Let's say I want to be a neurosurgeon, and I'm going to be walking around with like G cups, double G cups. Does that seem to make any sense to you at all?
I think it is shame on the parents for not saying no. I mean,
a lot of times the parents will make the plastic surgeon into the bad guy, which I know that they were doing in this case. They were bringing her in so that I could be the one that said, hey, maybe this isn't such a great idea. And they, you know, still don't have to come out and say anything that's too crazy. But, you know, but the thing that I'm bringing out here with this example is that even somebody at that stage of being going through 4 years of college, having an understanding that they want to become a physician, go to medical school and all that, still don't understand the ramifications of the body shape or body dysmorphic idea that maybe this is going to preclude you from being able to move on with a career or something that you want to do. And I just, for the life of me, I mean, and I can give you tiny examples. How about this? How about these kids that come in with those gauges in their ears?
Oh, right. Yes.
Have you seen those things? Okay. Do you know how many over the years I've like repaired? It's incredible. Like I could have a whole pictorial booklet of these gigantic stretched out earlobes that these kids get done when they're like teenagers. Now they get to be in their 20s and now they're looking to get a job. And when they go to get a job, who's hiring these people that are walking in with something like that? So unless you're going to be working at a store that really promotes that or something, I, you know, so most of these kids are trying to go for a corporate job. A few of them went going into law enforcement. One was trying to go into the army, and every one of them needed to have like an earlobe reconstruction because they've been stretched out to such a degree that just taking out a gauge doesn't make that just go back again. It looked like a National Geographic picture, you know? So I guess my point is the beauty of a lot of the things that we can do nowadays in plastic surgery with a lot of the plastic surgery procedures are very reproducible, but they're also things that will go away and they're reversible. So, Jenny, if you came in to see me and you wanted to have your lips made larger, right? I could use something like a Juvederm or a Restylane. And after we inject it, if you didn't like the way they looked, I have an antidote. I have something I can inject right in behind it and it washes that stuff completely away. Most people don't even realize you could do that. It's totally reversible. If you use the right kind of product, you can erase the stuff instantly. There's a comfort level associated with that. You know what I mean? if you go in for the Botox injections, you didn't like that your eyebrows were so high afterwards or something, it's going to wear off in about 4 to 6 months. But some of these surgeries, people really have to investigate and understand what they're getting into. And I think that's where, you know, the understanding about plastic surgery that is reversible type stuff and things that are not happen to be something that I think doesn't get as much play as it should. Because this girl that's going for $60,000 worth of surgery to look like Ivanka Trump, I mean, she's stuck with that look.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad look. It's just, there's a psychological motivation there.
Absolutely. Like anything you're going to do permanent to your body, you could research. And like you said, these actually just completely okay with having this be your permanent look forever.
Right. And I think going through what Caitlyn Jenner went through is definitely anteing up each time. She started with the hormone replacement. She started with, like, you know, laser hair removal and all the things that a lot of these people that are going to become, you know, they're trying to change their gender. I think they go through all these processes in a way because each one of those steps keeps leading them into the path where they're going, okay, well, you know, I really ended up this time. I did this. I really must be, you know, going in this direction because now I did this. So I think we have to do a show one day totally, Jenny, where we're just talking about what it means to be a transgender and to do, you know, gender reassignment surgery. And that's basically what it's called. Because I've over the years had patients, you know, just show up in the office and, it basically, I can give you an example. About a month ago, we had a guy show up in the office. Danny, it was a guy in a dress. That's the best way for me to describe it to you. It was literally a guy in a dress. He had, there was no way to like look at this person and go, oh, it's a female. It was a guy sitting there in a dress. And he basically came in for breast implants. And during the consultation, it's a guy who was working at Home Depot. And in his mind, he was beginning the process of gender reassignment. He's been cross-dressing for a certain amount of time. He was under the care of a psychiatrist. And that was his, you know, entry, if you will, into the idea that this is something that he wanted to do. But having breast implants and just wearing a dress every day are two vastly different things. Correct?
Oh, very, Danny? Very, very different.
Right. So I explained to him that, you know, you got to start the hormone replacement. If you want to start doing something like maybe lasering some of the hair off of your arms or your beard, that may be another thing that you could do that may not be as drastic as, you know, going for surgery and having breast implants. But, you know, just because you've been wearing a dress for a while, I think the next step isn't let's go get implants. You know what I mean?
Right. That makes sense. You're just taking the steps you need to take to make sure you're making the best decision for yourself and your body.
That's it. And then I, just like you said, I definitely understand that people feel like they're, you know, displaced. They're not supposed to be that person in that body. And I think that that's an important thing for us to be able, as a plastic surgery community, to be able to treat those patients and take care of them. But I do think that it needs to be in a progression that makes a lot of sense. And that's an extreme case, Jenny. And that's why I was trying to use those three examples, because the patient that's having breast, you know, reconstruction because she's had breast cancer is also someone that's really got to decide, is that something that she wants to do with her body? Is that something she wants to live with, etc.? And the person that's deciding to look like Ivanka Trump or another celebrity is another thing. But each one of those things has a psychological component to it that really needs to be massaged out, if you will, with the surgeon, with the families, et cetera. What do you think about all that?
I mean, I'm all for, like, anytime you're going to do anything to your body, you really need to be super cautious and make the best decision for sure.
I think so, too. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. We had a chance to really delve into some things that are kind of interesting today. You've been listening to The Plastic Surgery Revolution. I am your host, Dr. Stephen Davis with Jani Moon, and we will be back talking with you next week. Jani, take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.